Let's think about this for a minute. A landmark announcement yesterday from the biggest banks in the world that starting Monday, it's going to be easier than ever to borrow money in dollars. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average closes up 490 points in the biggest single-day gain since March 2009. What is this? Is this faith in the dollar, faith in the markets, faith in the financial system? Or is it the first big sign that the global banking system can really cooperate to finally address something as complex as, say, the European debt crisis before it takes down the planet, economically speaking? It was a pretty remarkable statement yesterday. Six banks, the U.S. Federal Reserve, the Bank of Canada, Bank of England, Bank of Japan, European Central Bank, and the Swiss National Bank. What they're doing is called giving the global economy a boost of liquidity. But does it help? And perhaps more importantly, who doesn't it help? For more, we're joined by Simon Johnson, former chief economist for the International Monetary Fund. Simon Johnson, good morning.
Good morning.
So who doesn't this help and who does it help?
Well, I don't think it really helps anyone, to be honest. The problem in Europe is a government solvency issue, and they're throwing liquidity, very short-term money, at the problem. This is rather like sending good money hot in pursuit of bad money, money that's already gone bad.
Now, that's terrifying in the sense that it suggests that maybe tomorrow the Dow Jones Industrial Average will go down, 600 points. But let me just draw an analogy, and this is part of a discussion that we've been having over the last several weeks. People have been hearkening back to the Lehman collapse. And the response to the Lehman collapse was to really throw money at the financial system to prevent a complete freeze-up of the credit markets. It seemed to work. Is this kind of a TARP, a global creation of a TARP fund to do what seemed to work in the United States back in the 2008, 2009?
No, not at all. In the United States in 2008, the issue was banks failing. And you're right, they did give them a lot of support in all kinds of ways, some open, some clandestine. But they were using the balance sheet of the U.S. government, the fiscal firepower, on behalf of the taxpayers, to save the banks. And, of course, that's controversial, but that's what they did. In Europe, the problem is there's no fiscal firepower. The governments have too much debt. Even the Germans have a lot of debt, and the Germans cannot take on or underwrite all of Italy's debt, for example. So they're in a very different place. It's not about propping up the banks to try and stabilize the economy. That they need to do is address the solvency issue of the governments.
All right. So Simon Johnson, former chief economist for the International Monetary Fund, does that mean that this simply is not enough in that maybe the Chinese have to sign on and, a bunch of the Asian economies need to sign on in a big way? Or does it mean that, we're depending on suddenly the biggest debtor nation in the world, the U.S., to cover all these bets, and that's going to run out?
Yeah, the U.S. is not going to cover any bets. You can't get authorization from Congress to put any significant amount of money in, and all these Fed lines are very short-term and don't really address the problem. Look, the issue is the structure of the Eurozone, the way that operates, how it is governed, and the relationship between the big countries there, particularly at this moment between Germany and Italy. Those are all problems that Europeans are perfectly capable of sorting out by themselves. Now, I do think it's going to be somewhat messy. I do think that Italy has borrowed an enormous amount, and there needs to be a reckoning on that, and that could certainly be very awkward. But the Europeans don't need outside help. The Europeans have a reserve currency. They have the euro. They have plenty of policy options. I think they did the announcement yesterday because one or more big banks desperately needed dollars and they didn't know how else to get it. But I don't know that for sure. In any case, it's irrelevant. The big issues are structural within the Eurozone, and what they need is a fiscal union. They need what the United States needed in 1787. Under the Articles of Confederation, the U.S. credit system and a lot of other things were not working. So they needed to come together in Philadelphia and decide to have a central government that had some power to tax and could issue debt. It was a traumatic conversation in the United States too, by the way, but it worked, and the Europeans need to have the same conversation. Of course, financial markets move a little bit faster now.
Yeah, I've noticed. But you're saying the historical issue is not really to go back to 2008, 2009, it's to go back to 1787. Well, if that's the case, do you see an Alexander Hamilton on the horizon here to knit things together and give credibility to the markets?
Well, Hamilton will emerge if you have the right constitutional framework. There's no question about that. But first, you have to have an agreement among the sovereign governments that there will be a fiscal center. The fiscal center will have sufficient power to tax and that those taxes can be used to support a central issue of debt. That's what this is all about. Now, there will be debt restructuring issues, and that's one of the things Hamilton handled in 1789 and 1790. No doubt that will be controversial too. But once you have the fiscal center, a strong fiscal center, all of these problems become manageable.
Yesterday we spoke with some of our colleagues at the BBC who were a little bit skeptical of the long-term kind of relief that this represents. It sounds like you're expressing some of the same skepticism. Does that mean that this just becomes another blip in a whole series of headlines of bailouts and settlement agreements and Eurozone meetings of one kind or another? Or are we headed to something that is even bigger than all of this?
Well, I hope we're headed to something bigger in the sense of a resolution and a real agreement among the Europeans. I fear we're heading towards something bigger in the sense of disorderly defaults in the Eurozone, which is just an incredible accident that is totally unnecessary. But honestly, it's incredible we've reached even this point, and it's entirely because the European leaders procrastinate. There's not much for the U.S. to do here, and the U.S. hasn't done much, but there's not much for us to do. It's all about the Europeans. They have a leading role in the world economy. They have great responsibility to their own people and for their impact around the world, and they are completely blowing it at every opportunity.
So then who are you hearing out there, either a U.S. politician or a global politician, who's saying the right things, who needs to be listened to right now?
I look at this very carefully. The only person I can see who understands what's going on and has got a sensible approach is John Huntsman, who's a candidate for the Republican nomination. He actually sees this correctly as an opportunity for pushing forward on making the big banks smaller, on dealing with too big to fail, and a whole other set of reforms, derivative markets becoming more transparent, things we should have done 3 years ago, things that have not been done by this administration, things that are not being proposed by the front runners, of course, in the Republican race either. But John Huntsman actually has this right.
So Huntsman is saying, we've got one more chance, let's not blow it, and nobody's listening except for Simon Johnson.
Well, he has 11% in the latest New Hampshire poll, so maybe some people up there are starting to listen.
All right, Simon Johnson, thanks so much. Former chief economist for the International Monetary Fund. Thanks again.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.